how great is this for you, being in this, having this opportunity, watching this Tennessee team make this run right now?
Well, you know, as a broadcaster, when you sit down, all you're hoping for, A, you want your team to win because that makes it a lot more fun getting on the bus or getting on the plane, coming home and all those type things. But you want to see a good game. You want to see two teams that play well. And it was a really unbelievable game, maybe the biggest swing I've ever seen in a game. I mean, Tennessee, I thought they were going to blow Iowa out. I was hanging its head, and they looked dead as a doornail when it was 44-19. And then suddenly they go to the basket in the second half, make a couple of plays, get a couple of fouls on Schofield and Grant Williams, and the whole atmosphere turned around. I've never seen a game flip like that on such a quick note, but Iowa then came out the aggressor. But Tennessee's, their veterans figured out a way to win the game, and that's what you expect from a championship team at this time of the year. You've got to win games like that. So it was an unusual game. It was a game of big ebbs and flows, but it was a great game to watch and to call. And I'm sure there are a lot of Tennessee fans that their fingernails aren't very long today after chewing them up on Saturday at watching that Sunday after watching that game.
I remember having this conversation with Rob Bramlett, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and reflecting back on that 2010 football season with all of those fourth quarter comebacks that Auburn was able to manage, and at the end, undefeated national champs. We don't know where this journey ends, if it ends for Tennessee in a defeat or cutting down the nets. But it's one of those things where, you know, maybe when we have this conversation, the latter part of April, looking back, that's when we can really truly dissect what this experience is, because, boy, the first half looks like a difference of night and day for Tennessee against, you know, yesterday in that win with what they were doing with Iowa and what they were not doing in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, they took care of the ball. They took good shots. They were very efficient offensively. The defense was great. And then they get in the second half, and they're letting Iowa drive to the basket. They're turning the ball over, making careless mistakes, taking some quick shots, some bad shots, and all the formula that you put out there to lose a game. So, but they were able to right the ship and kind of correct it. And Lamonte Turner hit that big three-point shot to give them a 70-67 lead. I thought that was maybe one of the biggest plays of the game, because if Iowa ever got the lead, then you thought maybe Tennessee might be in trouble. But Tennessee made sure that Iowa didn't get the lead. They hit free throws. They did a lot of things down the stretch to win. I think they only had two baskets in the last 7 minutes of the game, and Lamonte Turner had both of those. So they just, you know, they didn't crumble. They didn't fold. I think the lesson they learned from the tournament the year before when they lost that game to Loyola, I think that really was in the back of their head, that you got to make plays and you got to come up with plays. You can't give up. You got to keep fighting. And they did that. Now, Purdue's a different animal. I mean, they've got some really interesting pieces, and Purdue's playing really well. They've won 19 of their last 23 games. They were the co-champions of the Big Ten with Michigan State. So this is not going to be an easy out. It's a physical team. It's a big team. They got a 7'3" center in Harms. They've got a great scoring guard in Edwards. So Tennessee is going to have its hands full, that's for sure. But these are the type of matchups you want to see in March. That's, you know, you want to see good teams in the Sweet 16, and all the top three seeds have all advanced. So that means there are a lot of good teams still left out there to play.
If we look at the last three games, the two, although they're wins in the NCAA tournament, but certainly Tennessee was tested the first two games, but also going back to the championship game of the SEC tournament, there were times there where the, you know, Tennessee not taking their normal shots or taking shots out of rhythm. When they're doing those things, that's when we see the best version of Tennessee basketball. But it's when they get out of their rhythm, they're forced into turnovers. We saw it against Auburn, and we certainly saw it yesterday against Iowa. That's the kind of version, as you talk about, where the fans of Tennessee certainly biting all their nails off.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not so sure it was the other teams forcing turnovers. It's more that Tennessee just careless with the ball. I mean, there was that one play where Bowden, right in front of Burt and I yesterday, jumps up in the air out on the wing at three-point range, no place to go, and he's Fulkerson's coming over to set a pick. John's not even looking at the ball, not expecting to get the ball, and Bowden throws it off his back and out of bounds. Well, that's really nothing Iowa did. There was a pass where I remember Jordan Bone tried to thread the needle and thought that Fulkerson was cutting to the basket, and Fulkerson thought he was supposed to set a pick, and so the ball sails out of bounds. That's not anything Iowa did. That was just Tennessee. And they did the same thing in the SEC championship against Auburn when they just started, and something they haven't done all year, just started turning the ball over. It was, you can't explain it. They've been going through these little spurts, and those little spurts get you beat, especially against a good team. So hopefully that they'll be able to take care of business and play like they did the first 20 minutes and do that in the second half. If they do that against Purdue, I think they'll be okay. When Tennessee is up around 18 to 20 assists and their turnovers down around 7 or 8, that's an awfully tough team to beat because they share the ball and they make shots. And if they do that, then they'll be okay. But if their turnover numbers around 14 and their assists are down around 10 to 12, that's when Tennessee has really struggled. So those are to me, those are the two key numbers you got to look at. And offensive rebounding with Kyle Alexander. When Alexander's on the glass, a lot of good things happen.
Well, we look at the positives yesterday. I mean, when you see a box score and you see a team shoot 40% from three-point range, shoot over 80% from the free-throw line in NCAA tournaments, you out-rebound the opponent, those are usually good signs. But the one area that has to be taken care of and reduced probably by half is when you see 17 turnovers, that's usually is not a good thing, and it could have certainly meant a loss for Tennessee yesterday against Iowa.
Oh, there's no question. When Tennessee is up around 17, 18 turnovers, they have not played very well, and they haven't won many of those games. So I haven't looked at the exact stats, but 17 seems to be a pretty good number. But you can't be over 17. And not many teams can. I mean, there's not many teams out there that can turn the ball over, 17, 18 times and expect to win. And that's one of the keys. But and Tennessee's also got a they've got to dig in defensively. I don't know what happened, what flipped the switch. Because the first half, I thought that was about as solid a defensive performance.
I totally agree.
As we've seen from Tennessee all season. I mean, Lamonte Turner was all over Bohannon. They couldn't even run our offense. They couldn't even get a good, clean shot. And second half, Iowa just started driving to the basket. That seemed to loosen everything up. So defensively is where Tennessee's going to have to – really dig in. And Johnny, I don't know, maybe it was a little bit of fatigue. I mean, Tennessee's really only playing six guys right now. Maybe some of the fatigue set in during that one stretch, and Tennessee lets guard down a little bit. But you can't let your guard down against Purdue. They got big guys. They got about three or four shooters that really like to put the ball up and shoot the ball. I was looking at a couple of stats that really kind of caught my eye about some of the shooting, if I can find it on my sheet here, that I was working on. Yeah, here's so you think Grant Williams is taking a lot of shots this year, wouldn't you?
Right.
SEC Player of the Year?
Yeah.
He's taken 398 shots from the field. Carson Edwards has taken 656.
Wow.
Okay? So that tells you a little bit. Now, Admiral Schofield's taken 487. So three-point attempts. Schofield leads Tennessee with 171. Carson Edwards has taken 347 three-point shots. He's made 120 of them. Schofield's made 71. But that just, I mean, Edwards is going to have the ball in his hands, and Edwards is going to take a lot of shots. He's hitting 85% at the free throw stripe. He's averaging 23 points a game at 42 against Villanova, 26 against Old Dominion. So, I mean, he's a force, and Tennessee's got to figure out a way to guard him, and that's going to start with Lamonte Turner.
You know, I don't know about you, and it's not because I have a dog in the hunt or anything like that, but, teams that are playing on Saturday should be the teams that are playing on Thursday as far as the second week. Teams that play the Friday-Sunday should be playing on Friday on the second week. I mean, here's Tennessee in action coming up on Thursday, for example. I mean, Florida State, same situation. So that's the part sometimes I don't like when we see these where you've got the – you've got one region in Columbus, for example, and then you've got another region there as well. And it creates these issues where, like a Tennessee situation, here they are playing yesterday, and, oh, by the way, they got the short week playing again on Thursday.
Johnny, you've been around this game long enough. You know it's all dictated by TV.
Oh, it's dictated by money. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, with more TV, I mean, TV figures out which teams they want to play, when and where, and that's kind of how it happens. They set up the brackets and kind of roll the dice. I mean, they want Purdue and prime. I mean, Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina. They want those teams in the prime spots, and that's just kind of the way it is. And until you get in that realm, you know, that's kind of the way you got to play it. But that's just part of it. Rick Barnes was asked that question today, and he kind of said that, you know, this time of the year, you don't really want to lay around for a week. I mean, these kids, if they're not practicing, they're going to be in the gym shooting and playing basketball. So so whether you're practicing them or whatever, they're going to be in the gym doing something. So you don't want them laying around. He was talking about last week. It was just that layoff between the SEC tournament and then playing on Friday in the NCAA tournament. He said it felt like it was a couple of weeks. So he really doesn't mind. You know, today they go over the scouting report, and then they'll practice tomorrow, and then go to Louisville, and you practice there on Wednesday, play on Thursday. It's kind of more like a regular week in the SEC season, you know, where you play on a Saturday and you're back at it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So, and I think those quick turnarounds during, you know, Tennessee had a bunch of those Saturday, Tuesday games this year, and I think that's prepared them for this NCAA tournament. So, Coach Barnes, if Coach Barnes isn't bothered by it, I'm not bothered by it either. So,
how about this? How about this reason to be really optimistic if you're a fan of Tennessee? I mean, just go back to the last three games. We have not seen Tennessee's best basketball. Now, at times we have. Certainly in that first half against Iowa, we did. But over the last three games, we haven't seen that. And yet, here we are, Tennessee in the Sweet 16. If Tennessee puts it into that gear that we've seen throughout the regular season at times this year, this could be a fun week for the Vols.
Yeah, I agree. If they play up to their capabilities, which there's no reason to think they shouldn't, then this team's going to have a chance to make some noise in this tournament. You know, you go back to the Kentucky game, that might have been the best game Tennessee's played all year in the SEC tournament. And so if they can play that at a high level with that intensity, they're going to be a tough out. I think everybody admits that. But you've got to play at that level, and Tennessee didn't do that in the second half. We'll see how it shakes out against Purdue, but this is gonna be this could be a tough game on Thursday night against Purdue. They're really a solid, tough, hard nosed basketball team. So, and they've got a lot of weapons. They can come at you from a lot of different ways.
Hopefully, I mean, here's the thing: at least you're not having to travel all the way to Anaheim, so it's a short trip, and so that will certainly help as well.
True. Yeah, that's good, because a lot of Tennessee fans, especially from the mid-state area, can make it to Louisville pretty quickly. So. Hope a lot of folks show up, and there should be a great crowd there for the game on Thursday.